beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. How many know that's a really long time, forever and ever? I will look at verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Wow. That are opened. I believe that the books that are opened first are the Torah. The commands of God are opened there, because these people are at the great white throne of judgment. Now, y'all remember what I've said about the Apostle Paul saying that Jesus came to redeem those who were under the law. And so in most Christian circles, they have this negative attitude towards the commands of God, that we're under grace now and not under law, that you have to keep the law in order to, that they think that I think that I have to keep those commands to be saved. That's not true at all. There's only one way to be saved, and that's to repent and allow Jesus to baptize you in his blood. Amen. When your spirit man comes up out of that blood of Jesus, I don't know how he does it. It's in the spirit realm. You're born again. Remember how clean you felt? Squeaky clean when you was born again. Amen. You still do. That's good. So anyway, Paul didn't mean that the law was bad. What he meant was you're under the law if you haven't repented. Because after you repent, then the Torah of God, the teaching of God, the commands of God now become a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path to live by. But they have nothing to do with your salvation. Jesus' blood has saved you. But now, here's a way to live in order that you'll be blessed and happy. To be under the law would mean that you're part of that second death, and now those books are opened. Because you never repented, now those commands of God, not to lie, not to steal, not to commit adultery, not to, you know, to fornicate, not to be an alcoholic, all right? Those things now become a witness against you at the great white throne of judgment. At that moment, you are under the law, and it's a witness against you. Remember, this is a courtroom. This is judgment. And that law becomes a witness. See, you and I, if we're blood-bought and born again, we're going to be part of that first resurrection. Amen? If you find yourself before the great white throne of God, cancel Christmas, baby. It ain't going to come out good for you. Now, one thing that we are told by the Apostle Paul, that we as believers that take part in that first resurrection, we will find ourselves before the Bema seat of Messiah. Bema was a Greek word that means that's where the Greek athletes receive their rewards for their athletic accomplishments. And Paul says that, you know, we'll come before God and all our works will be tried. It's not a salvation issue, just everything we did for God. If we built it for ourselves, if we were selfish and arrogant, we did things for God to puff us up, Paul said those things are going to be burned up. Anything built on hay, wood, and stubble, those are all earthly things, fleshly things, going to be flash fried. Those works are going to be tested with fire. But he said those things that were done with a good motive, and he describes them as being made out of gold and silver. He said, we'll be rewarded for those. Amen. Don't get around me when you see me there. It's going to be a big fire. Okay? Because in the early days of ministry, I did a lot of things just to promote me and not to promote the kingdom of God. Okay? So, anyway, be careful. If you see me, you might bring the hot dogs. Okay? All right, let's keep going. The second blessing was we won't be part of the second death. In Revelations 2, I got my Bibles upside down now. I don't know how that happened. In Revelations 2, verse 17, I like this one. Revelations 2, verse 17, if I can find my way back there. Hallelujah. I'm trying to hurry. I know I'm being long-winded. Revelations 2, verse 17, it says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. And I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. Why are we given a white stone? That stone is a stone of acquittal. That stone is white. That means you've been tried, you've been tested, but you've been found not guilty. Amen? And you're given a new name. I don't know what that name is, but I can go back to stories in the Bible like Abraham, whose name was Abram. But when God added his name into that, we got Abraham, then he becomes the father of many nations. Then there's Sarai, but when God added Yah in there, Sarah, she becomes the mother, right? She becomes, now watch, she is barren, but at the moment God changes her name, he quickens her womb. But my favorite one, because I used to be a lowlife, is Jacob, whose name means deceiver. And when I read this verse that I got a new name, I'm like, yeah, just like Jacob. Jacob goes from deceiver after he wrestles all night with God. After he wrestles all night with God, God changes his name from Jacob to Israel, Prince of God. Yeah. See, I like that. I want one of them. I want one of them names, Lord. I don't know what Floyd means, and I for sure don't know what Butch means, you know. I know there is a bad meaning for Butch. We won't go there, all right? And when people try to say hi, Butch, when they text me something, you know, the spelling will change the U to an I. I always get a chuckle out of that one. But we'll get a new name that's better than that. So you need to check your spelling when you're... if you're sending me a message. Look at chapter 2, verse 26. Let's get through these real quick. And he who overcomes, verse 26, and he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels. The Bible says that we will rule and reign with him. Amen. Glory to God. Let's look in chapter 3, verse 5. We're almost finished. Chapter 3, verse 5 says, one page too far. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Wow. What's the white garments? Symbol of purity, right? Yeah, there's a show on TV. My wife, I don't know why she's watching it. She watches it all the time. Say yes to the dress. Any of you women ever seen that? Obviously you have. You know, it's a lot of drama about, I didn't realize picking out a wedding dress was so much hard work. Okay? I don't like to watch that show. I don't need to watch anything on TV that's drama. There's enough drama going on in real life to be partaking of somebody else's whatever it is. But the point is, those dresses, not every time, but 99% of the time, they're what color? White. And see, we're promised white robes. Why? We're going to the wedding feast. It's the wedding garments. Amen? The wedding of the Lamb. He's bringing us into that marriage covenant with Him. Glory to God. All right. And if we go to verse 12, we will find, "He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, a new Jerusalem which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the seven churches. If we overcome, we will dwell with God forever and ever." Amen. And verse 21 is the seventh one, and it says, "To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the seven churches." Glory to God. Now I got one more passage of Scripture. I'm going to close with this. Turn to Revelation 21. Revelation 21. Now, in verse 7 to 10, God deals with the devil and the enemies of God. And then down in verse 11 through 15, we see the judgment of the ungodly. So I think we could say that from verse 7 to verse 15, we see the destruction of the house of Satan. And now something is going to be revealed. In verse 1 of chapter 21, it says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.' Then he who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said to me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Aleph and the Tav.'" Okay, your Bible says Alpha and Omega. "The beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. All those sevens in the Bible bringing us to the completeness and the revealing something good coming from God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Grace, will you and Carolyn help me here today? Hallelujah. God is so good all the time. Hallelujah. Go ahead, yeah. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. Yeah, that'll preach. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. You know, the kids at camp, they did a skit, and they used Caleb as Jesus. And they did it again up there, and I was thinking, you know, Hollywood always depicts Jesus as some weakling, or the preacher, he's wimpy, That might have been why I liked Clint Eastwood in Pale Rider. You know, Clint Eastwood was the preacher in that movie. You know, kind of rugged guy. But in this skit, there's mankind. There's a girl that represents mankind, and Jesus is showing her all the creations of the earth and all the good things. And then Satan shows up. And then there's a demon of lust shows up, and alcohol shows up, drug addiction shows up, and then suicide shows up. But in that skit, the demons are between Jesus and man, but then, you know, she's trying to come back. And then all of a sudden, you know, Jesus is over there going like this. And Caleb did a good job because he's big and strong, you know. And that same power that resurrected Jesus from the grave is the same power that wooed us. And every time I see that skit, I get a tear in my eye because I think about myself, you know, and how I was raised in a church. And even though I sinned, you know, I was a miserable at it. You know, because that Holy Spirit was still reaching and drawing and wooing and pulling. And of course, at the end of the skit, he pulls her through and then he embraces her. And then they try to attack again. And Caleb holds his arms out, you know, and he's got arms that reach from here to the back, you know. But it ministered to me, not because it was Caleb, but I realized God's bigger than any problem I will ever encounter. You know, there's nothing that he can't do. Amen? And these elements represent his son Jesus. And through his obedience, we now get a walk in victory. Amen. Father, we thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you that he is our risen Lord. And Lord Jesus, you instructed your disciples that when they did this, they were to do it in remembrance of you. And this morning, in remembrance that you are the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, that you are the immerser, baptizer in the Holy Spirit, that you are our high priest right now interceding for us, and that you are our soon coming King. With thanksgiving in our hearts, in remembrance of you, we take and eat of your body. Hold your cup up. You ready? On three. One, two, three. L'chaim. L'chaim means to life. The Bible tells us that life is in the blood. And Jesus poured out his life so that we could be partakers of that life. Not only mere partakers, but we can have that life more abundantly. We also know that as the bride of Messiah, we drink of this cup. It becomes a symbol of our promise to stay faithful until our bridegroom comes. Lord Jesus, in remembrance of you, with thanksgiving in our hearts, we take and drink of your life this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Stand up with me. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Yes,